This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
All right, now, Duncan, can you tell me how this came about, this reporting in Indigenous communities? I mean, I know you went to Stanford, and did you got some sort of scholarship to study this aspect and to really look into it?
Yeah, so it was, the idea came, I went to a UNESCO conference in Australia last year in the spring, was there to talk about Indigenous reporting with Indigenous folks from around the world. But one of the takeaways that I came away with from Australia was that there are at least four journalism schools in Australia, and one in the United States, where they're teaching Indigenous reporting in the classroom and taking students out of the classroom into Indigenous communities to introduce them to how to do a better job in covering Indigenous communities in those countries. And I wasn't aware of anything like that being offered in Canada. And so I came back and said, this is something, this is something that should happen. And I've been teaching here at the UBC School of Journalism for the past 4 years as an adjunct. And so I proposed it to them. As it happened, I was also going on a fellowship at Stanford, the Knight Fellowship, spending a year at Stanford, where I had pitched an online toolkit for working journalists to introduce them to some of the tips and tools that they need when they go into work in Indigenous communities here in Canada. So the timing was great. I had a year to be working on this online toolkit, and I also had this idea of teaching a course here at UBC that we could, give a group of students real hands-on training on how to do this stuff.
Right, and get them to prepare for actually working out in the field. And, I mean, do you find that in the Canadian media that not a lot of journalists actually have an idea of what goes on in Aboriginal communities across this country?
I think the in the newsrooms, the range of experience and knowledge reflects the Canadian community. And so there are some people who, have some experience and background history in our newsrooms who understand Aboriginal issues. There's some people that have really romantic notions of who Indians are. There's some people that have some sympathetic notions that have, for lack of a better word, kind of pity the conditions that Aboriginal people are living in this country. And there's some people that have some conservative views. So, it's a real range in our newsrooms. But in general, most of Canadians don't have a real full appreciation of the history of colonialism, for example, or just even the history of Aboriginal people. And that's a real lack in our education system for the most part.
Right. Do you find that a lot of stereotypes when it comes to Aboriginal people, just the general stereotypes that they use of Aboriginal people, instead of actually going to the communities and speaking to the leaders of the communities?
I think in the media, we may not even be aware all the time of the kinds of stereotypes that we're projecting, just in media coverage. And so, not so much in this decade, but in the last decade, what we saw a lot of was the warrior stereotype, right? And it was not that those events aren't news events. Of course they are. But in the frames that reporters choose their stories, in the kinds of narratives that we choose to cover, and certainly this happened in the Montreal area, when there is conflict and warriors, and I put warriors in quotation marks, are involved, that's seen as a news story. But if that's the only kind of coverage, if that's the only kind of exposure that our audiences are getting to Aboriginal people, then they begin to build this image of Aboriginal people as being nothing but warriors or nothing but people that have, terrible housing and social conditions, when there are a lot of other stories in Aboriginal communities that are news and that we should be telling and that we're ignoring because we've got a very narrow frame and perspective on what makes news.
Right. Now, how is this class that you'll be teaching at UBC, I mean, this program shaped? How are students going to get into these communities? I mean, have you worked with them in the past and set this whole thing up?
Yeah, so during my year at Stanford, I fortunately had some time to build relationships with communities here in the Lower Mainland. So in the Vancouver area, it's a bit unusual from the rest of Canada in the sense that there are First Nation communities, reserves, Indian reserves, right within the city here in Vancouver, and certainly there are plenty of them within an hour drive of Vancouver. And so what I did was I reached out to some of those communities and said, here's this course, and we need to prepare the next generation of journalists for reporting in Indigenous communities, whether they're here in Vancouver or wherever whatever newsroom they end up in, and will you help? And so I was really pleased that four communities, the Tsleil-Waututh Nation, the Tawasin First Nation, the Squamish Nation, and the Solid Tribal Council, and then the urban Indigenous community here in Vancouver, all wrote letters of support and said, yes, we want to help out. We want to see journalists who know what they're talking about when they come and do interviews with us. So we had that support from the communities. They had input, and they were contributing guest speakers, and we went to a trip to a band office, for example, things like that. And then as far as the students go, we've got 15 students here, and the idea of the course was that this was not going to just be book learning. I didn't want to just sit down and give them a history lesson. They can go and take, First Nations studies. There's all kinds of profs who can give them a real detailed history lesson if that's what they want. There's a little bit of that, but really it was about hands-on experiential learning, getting out there, meeting Aboriginal folks, looking for stories, trying to, and understanding what it's like to be operating as a journalist in these communities and trying to dig up stories. The other thing, too, that's key to this course is that we're really talking about journalism that tries to go beyond the problems. I think that's one of the issues that Aboriginal people have with the way that they've been covered in the mainstream media is that it's often focused on problems, and Aboriginal people are seen as being a problem people. What we're trying to do in this course is point out that Aboriginal people themselves are also trying to be part of the solution to some of the issues that they face.
Right. Now, you mentioned in that speech you gave, which I saw online, about a student who was trying to write about the community, about a member of an Aboriginal community, and faced some resistance. They wanted to see the story beforehand. Now, are they experiencing any sort of hostility whatsoever, or is it pretty well accepted?
Yeah, no, I won't. I wouldn't say hostility. They've been received. A number of the teams have been received really well by the communities and been given tours and invited to feasts and asked to witness in formal events, things like that. There has been some pushback from some of the communities with regard to what control the players in the story may have over the story and how they're going to be portrayed. And as I said to the students, we're bearing the burden on our shoulders of a lot of distrust between the mainstream media and the First Nations, which has built up over years. And even before that, when the missionaries came and the archaeologists and the scientists, all these people before us that have come into these communities and not treated them very well, not respected their knowledge and not shared it back with them, there's been a lot of resentment and distrust, and Aboriginal First Nation communities are rightly saying we want to have control over our own intellectual knowledge. We want to have control over our stories now. And so that's an understandable perspective from First Nations. It's a difficult one for journalists where editorial independence is key. We're supposed to be looking for the truth, and I put that in quotation marks, capital T. But we need to be able to tell the story as it's, without having meddling hands, if you will. And so there has been some pushback in a couple of the communities, and my students are having to figure that one out.